Isaiah chapter 2. What is so funny already? We haven't even started. This is going to be a fun night, I can tell. All right, so we finished with the names. We finished with the warning of chapter 1. And we're going to start in chapter 2. Many have been deceived thinking that they can be involved in a sinful lifestyle, that they'll be satisfied in life. Now, as we're going through this, what is Hosea a picture of? Someone committing spiritual adultery with God, right? There's that picture that's given. We started to look at it a little bit and started to see, all right, now many people think, hey, we can be involved in any lifestyle, any activities we want, and it's going to satisfy us. How many tried that approach one time in your life, even before salvation? You try to satisfy your emptiness. You try to satisfy with the things of this world. Does it satisfy? No. Who is the only one that truly satisfies? God. Christ is the only one that truly satisfies. Satan never offers real satisfaction, joy, peace, or love. God warns us to stay away from this path of the wicked. Many will ignore this warning, but many will find out that everything that they have thought would satisfy is not going to satisfy. Throughout this book, Hosea, we see the children of Israel during Hosea's time trying to find satisfaction, but they were even called not my people. They were called no love. Now we're going to see a change, though. We're going to see a glimmer of hope. Now, verse 1, chapter 2, and verse 1 of Hosea. Say you unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Rumaha. Now, those both names, have you not seen those before? Now, you've seen them similar, right? You've seen those names before. Now, this is a message about future hope. Now, you say, well, this is kind of contradictory. What's going on here? This is a message of future hope. This is a message that's addressed to the godly remnant of the nation of Israel. This is those that have an opportunity for hope. Now, we all have an opportunity for hope in this world today, right? We're going to see a picture similar to us in here, as well as we point this out and give in here. Now, the relationship between the Lord and Israel during Hosea's time was described by Lo Ruhama and Lo Ami, right? Not my people, not loved. That is, we looked at that quite a bit the last couple weeks and talking about what that meant. That meant not compassion, not love, not those things. Did you guys have fun in there? That they were talking about the Tower of Babel in class, so they had Hendrik speak in German and they had Amvel speak in Spanish. So they use that to try to help teach the kids a little bit what that would be like. So, and they came out laughing, so it must have went okay. All right, now I'm off on mine, but that's all right. So we see Hosea 2:1, we see the difference here. And then God's people will be called Ami, my people, and Ruhama, my loved ones. Now, there is a picture of before and a picture what is to come. You see the picture here is what they were during Hosea's time. They were doing their own thing. They were following their own ways. They weren't considered God's people. You remember last week, those were here last week. They even were told, you're not even worshiping me. You said, I'm your God. I'm not your God. You're not even worshiping me. You're not even close to this. Don't claim something you're not. And that's the picture. Now it's coming here, talking about the remnant, talking about that which is going to come, and says, guess what? You are now Oh, I have another one. I'm sorry. I guess I should have gave you one. Thank you, Steve. Now, one day you could be called something else. What were we called before salvation? Lost. The children of wrath and disobedience. We were called the children of the devil, if you will. We were totally separated from God. What happens when we receive Christ as our Savior? We become the children of God. There's a change. There's a difference given. Who gives that change? God gives that change. Who's the only one that can change Israel and change them from not my people to my people? Who's the only one that can change them from not compassion or not love to one who is loved and has compassion? God. How has God changed you? Think about it for a moment. How has God changed you? Now, some of you, when you were saved later in life, you're a little easier to use this because some of you are pretty wretched individuals. I'm just looking in general. If you feel guilty, so be it. But before salvation, there was a big difference in your attitude, how you treated people, what you thought of people, how you reacted to things, your love towards people, your compassion towards people, and all those things. And then it was change. Now, what does Ephesians tell us? We were children of wrath, but he has that word there, that conjunction. But God, who is rich in mercy. So as we look at this and the change that is given here, we see God's what? We see God's love. We see God's grace. We see God's mercy given to them. We see God's love, God's grace, God's mercy given to us. Now, how do we get far from God? How does a person get far from God? Okay, so it's little steps and progression that happens. Okay, how else do we get far from God? Yeah. Now, God's people were far from God. Their relationship with God was broken. But one day, God was going to restore that relationship. Let me ask you a question. Can anyone be too far from God restoring a relationship with them? Can anyone be out of the reach of God in regards to the first relationship, in regards to salvation? No. God is not willing that any should perish. Salvation is available to all. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many have met people or know people that you thought in your mind, there's no way, no how, that person can ever get saved? I know that's our thought sometimes, right? But couldn't even that person that you dislike that much, could receive Christ? That person still could be saved. That person still could be changed. And it is given there. Now, let me ask you this, not just in regards to salvation. Can God heal a relationship of someone that is backslidden? Yes or no? Okay. Can God heal the relationship of someone that is completely backslidden to the point that, man, they're just wretched as they get in that? Yes. Nothing's impossible with God. Now, the issue is sometimes that person may not truly be saved, and what they truly need is salvation. But any place we're at, Israel was far from God, but Israel could come back to God. And that's a wonderful promise and truth even in our lives. We can come back to God. What does 1 John 1:9 tell us? Can you say it one more time a little louder? Yeah. He's faithful. He's just. If we confess it, he's going to forgive us. Someone go to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22 for me, please. Rex, why don't you do Jeremiah 3, 22? Dick, could you do Hosea 14, 4? Dad, could you do Micah 7, 19? What does it say? Now, other place in Jeremiah, you know what he calls them? Backsliding heifers. That's in Scripture. Backsliding heifers is in Scripture. And it's given there. And he says, even though you've backslidden, even though you've gone that way, you can come back. Return back to the Lord. Even though you've gone to an extreme, you can come back. Many times people think, well, I'm saved, but I've done some things I shouldn't have done. But, oh, well, God can't forgive me, and I might as well just give up and quit. No, you can come back to God. God will be there. God will forgive you. God is there with his hand stretched out for you to come back to him. And that's a picture. Israel, if you study Israel, Israel did some mighty things against God. They did some things that you and I would sit back and go, I can't believe they would do it. You know the stories. You know the events that have been recorded. And we go back, no way, no how. But what did God do every time that they would come back to him? He would forgive them. He says, return, come back to me. I want to forgive you. The same in our lives. God wants to forgive you. Same as a parent. No matter what your child does, even though you don't like it, even though that you want to strangle them at times, my parents never thought that with me. Even though you want to strangle them at times, if they came back and they repented, what did you do as a parent? You always forgave them. You always were there for them. And you always loved them. You still wanted to knock them upside the head, but you still loved them. Right? All right, Hosea 14, 4. So what did that verse just tell us? Anyone, did you hear him? Heal their backsliding. How do you heal backsliding? What's that? Forgive? Yeah, and they wouldn't go, but the heel, they follow the leader and do what is done. If we're backslidden, what do we have to do to be healed?
Well, we have to let the Lord lead us.
We have to seek forgiveness, and we do those things, but we have to let the Lord work in our hearts and our lives for us to come back. Can we come back and say, I'm going to come back to God, I want God to heal me, but I'm not going to change my thoughts. I'm not going to change my actions. I'm not going to change what I do. No, because we're not truly seeking to go back and follow God. We want the benefits, if you will, but we don't want to put the work into what it takes to get back and right with God. How many people have met someone that wanted you to forgive them or wanted you to do something for them, but they never change how they acted or change what they did? It's harder to do that, right? But there has to be some action. Now, forgiveness, we talked about Sunday morning. Forgiveness is granted, but to get total restoration, there has to be some work on the other person's part to restore that relationship and that is given there. Next verse, please. Micah 7:19. So what is that saying? God's going to forgive them? What? And forget them. They're going to be removed. And God's going to restore them. That's restoration. How we heal backsliding, we have to be restored. How is something restored? Made better. Yeah, you can't just cover up something. You have to. How many times have we tried to put a Band-Aid over something in our life spiritually? What happens to a Band-Aid after a while? It doesn't stick. It falls off. And it leaves a sticky residue. You know, you need another box of those Band-Aids. But many times we put, and it leaves that sticky residue. It leaves there. And what we try to do is we're trying to fix our backsliding, our rebellion, and we're just putting a Band-Aid over it. It doesn't work. And then there's effects to that because that sticky residue still stays there. It's the same spiritually. And many times in our lives, we've gone so far from God, we haven't taken the proper steps to get it right with God and to seek God. God will heal us. God will forgive. God will forget. God will do those things, but we can't just keep putting a Band-Aid over those. Go to Isaiah 43. Rex, if you could read that. Isaiah 43, 25. And then Dick, Isaiah 55, 7. Okay, blot it out, and I will not remember. That's a wonderful truth for you and for me. God is so much better than us. We forgive and we try not to remember, right? But we talked about it Sunday. We shouldn't bring stuff up. But what happens many times? We bring stuff up. You know what's awesome with God? Does God ever bring up our sin? He doesn't bring up sin. Now, someone else does. Guess who else brings up our sin? Well, besides your wife. We talked about that Sunday. We're not talking about tonight. We talked about how the wife keeps the list, all right? We already talked about that. But the devil does. The devil brings it back up. How many? Go ahead, Steve. I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that alone. Do you need a place to sleep tonight? Well, that's kind of, never mind. But the devil brings it up. How many of you have had that in your life? The devil brings up something you've done. How does that make you feel? How do you feel through that? Why do you think the devil does that? To discourage you. How many have been discouraged 20 years later from something you did, and you know God has forgiven you, but then it's come up, and man, the devil just playing it in your mind over and over and over again. It never goes away, and it just plays like a video. And you see, why? Because the devil wants to discourage us. Now, God has given the children of Israel hope. Unworthy of God's love, yeah. And what has happened is God's given Israel hope. But what does the devil want to do? Take that hope away from them. What does the devil want to do in our lives? God's given us hope. He wants to take that hope from us. But if we're truly saved, God, no one can take that hope from us. And even when I sin after salvation, God still forgives. And guess what? The devil can't take that from me. My sin is forgiven. But sometimes that's a mind game you got to play with yourselves, because the devil keeps trying, and you got to say, no, get thee behind me, Satan. God has already forgiven me. God has already given me peace over this, and he's worked this out, and I've gotten it right with him, and God can use me. That's why many people who have done something after salvation stop going to church or stop serving in the church, because the devil plants that lie that they're no good anymore. You can't be used anymore. You've done this. Oh, forget it. You might as well just quit. You might as well just stay home. You're never going to be. Wait, that's not what God says. Now, there's certain positions in a church because of certain things that maybe you can't do, but it doesn't mean you still can't serve. It doesn't mean you still can't be involved. It doesn't mean God can't still use you in other ways. But the devil says, oh, you're just no good. Just stay home. Forget it. How many, you don't have to admit this, but how many of us had this happen? You were really good reading your Bible, and then all of a sudden some things happened. And then you went a one day, 2 days, a week without reading it. And you felt guilty. And then it went a little longer, and you felt even guiltier. And then you're like, I got to get back in this. And the devil goes, why? You're just going to do this again. You're just going to quit again. You're not going to stick with it. Might as well just give up reading. Anyone want to admit they've had that happen before? Yeah, and it happens, and the devil has a lot to do with that, to get us off track. The thought I want us to end with is this. No matter where we're at in our spiritual life, we're never exactly where we need to be. But we need to be striving to get to that place. When we notice that we're going backwards instead of forward, that is backsliding. If you see yourself closer to God today than you were last year at this time, then you're progressing. Doesn't mean you're perfect and will be perfect. It doesn't mean you've done everything. No, it means you're progressing. But if you look at your life today compared to last year, and you were closer to God last year than you are today, you have backslidden. You have gone backwards in your spiritual walk with God. And if we have backslidden in our spiritual walk with God, God can help us stop it and turn and return back and heal us so we can start going back in that right direction. And that is what he's telling Israel. You're not my people. You're not loved, but one day it's going to change. One day you will be my loved ones. One day you will be my people. One day you will be forgiven. And it's a message of hope. If you've been knocked down, with God's help, you can get back up. Anybody have anything you'd like to add? Originally, the sheet I was going to pass out actually had a lot more, and I cut it because I knew we weren't going to get there. So next week we'll move on. Anybody have anything else they'd like to add there?
Because they had gotten so hard with God that they were just like, should you listen to pastors?
Yep. Well, and that's the thing is you don't want to go too long backsliding because that's a whole different ball game there. Steve, was your hand up? Anyone else? All right. Go ahead and take out your prayer bulletins.